Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your Chantress of Everything Valuable and Beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart, celebrating the Ojai Film Festival. And this is kind of a special one. And I've got three filmmakers with me today.
Grass.
The festival itself. First of all, it's taking place November 2nd to the 6th. And we're in the second day today, if you're listening, and it's Friday. Very well-organized website, by the way, if you want to take a look at what's going on. Opening night festivities, how did that go, Fia? Was that fun?
You know what, Elizabeth, I'm ashamed to say that I did not make the opening night festivities. I was in meetings at AFM.
Okay, so who projects. Went?
Who went?
I went.
Robert, okay, tell me how it went.
Oh, it was great. Of course, Libby Bowl. So, you know, the scene setting or the movie set, the scene setting first image was you walk into Libby Bowl at twilight. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, right? In Ojai. And but then Spencer the Gardener, the band, played about an hour set and people were dancing in the aisleway. And that was fantastic. Lots of fun. Lights started coming up, they finished, and then Diane Ladd's film started. So it was a great evening.
And I want to just mention that we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but Robert Redfield is editorial and commercial photographer and filmmaker based here in Santa Barbara. And he did this movie that I looked at the trailer a number of times. It was absolutely fascinating. A story about our I don't know who I'm going to call him, unofficial mayor, Spencer Barnett, a.k.a. Spencer the Gardener. And Spencer's been around, I mean, everybody's parties and weddings. And the film is entitled, however, More Than Just a Party Band. And it tells the story, sometimes really kind of heart-wrenching story of Spencer the Gardener. And it's really interesting to listen to the trailer. And by the way, I had to laugh about this. Somebody's mom said to Spencer, I guess it was Spencer's own mom, said, I wish you guys didn't grow up here so that you could see how fantastic it is to grow up here. It was just a fantastic quote. Spencer grew up here in the 70s. Santa Barbara was very different. Surfing, basketball playing, tango dancing, Spencer. He achieves early fame, and then he's forced to rewrite his definition of success when faced with the music industry, the EMIs of the music industry, Columbia Records, et cetera, and then some really disturbing things in his own personal life. And he's, I've seen him around town for years, 40 years of his own enduring quirky brand of music and entertainment style. What's so interesting about this trailer, and I want to talk to Robert about it, is that it feels like Santa Barbara, but it's a Santa Barbara that maybe we're leaving behind in a way. And that film is more as much about Spencer as it is about that kind of unique lifestyle. And I wondered if Robert would talk about that. I want to just quickly introduce the rest of the gang that's here. Today, I have Fia Pereira. Her film, Paul and Tricia, The Art of Fluidity, we want to talk about that a little bit later in the show. And I also have with us the Bill Paxton Award winner. And by the way, this is the first year that the Bill Paxton Award has gone to a animated film. And we have with us Christopher Hills Eaton to talk about his film, Driftwood, and his award-winning film, by the way. But Robert's got to attend a seminar at the break. And so what we want to do is want to talk a little bit about more than just a party band. I guess what I'm interested to know, Robert, is what gave you the inspiration, or did Spencer approach you? How did you discover this really rich material?
Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on your show too. I think I'm pretty typical as a Santa Barbara resident in that I had heard of Spencer the Gardener just on the periphery. He plays the fiesta, lots of fun, really good at parties. That's about all I knew 2 years ago. And then Emil Millar, who is the producer of the film, he and Spencer were talking about a project together. Emil's a producer and a musician. So they were talking about an album and maybe putting a show together. And Spencer said, well, why don't we add a documentary to that project? And Emil and I at the time had been working on music videos, and Emil said, oh, okay. So Emil contacted me and I said, yeah, I'm in. Little did I know, as I start researching, first of all, just Spencer's music from day one, way back, I started listening to the music. I thought, wait, I is this the same guy? This isn't a party band guy. And it went from there. So it was a great introduction to somebody who I thought I knew, and it turns out I didn't know. And it was what I learned was a really good surprise.
How do you, when you've got now, this is, I'd love to also throw this question out to Fia as well. I was learning that Fia is an actress and a comedian and a filmmaker, and so this is about a public versus private persona, this question. So you're working with Spencer. He's so well known. He's got such a persona for years and years in town. Everybody knows him. How do you, as a director and a filmmaker, get down to the heart and soul of the person? This is a person who's used to being on stage, who's used to projecting an image, who has a lifelong image. And it seemed to me that even in the little snippets of the film that I was watching, the trailer, that you got down to the real person. There was a quote where I see like a depth of emotion. You're standing on the ocean front, and it was something about a girl or something. And Spencer, I could see in his face some flesh of the real man. And then you saw, oh, but a song is always about a girl. And now he's back to the public persona. How did you thread that needle, Robert?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to the subject, Spencer. And for any filmmaker, this is the big question, is how open is the subject going to be? How candid are they going to be? And then how much permission are they going to give you to talk about the real them? And Spencer was great at that. And he also, early on during research, he shared a lot via emails about the early days and what made him tick and blah, blah, blah. I had to develop that because most people don't, self-analyze a lot. That's my job. But it was him and his willingness, and also the way he expressed himself in front of the camera. The guy was ready when we shot the intimate stuff.
And Fia, would you opine on that public versus private persona? Because you've done both. You're behind the camera and you're in front of the camera. So tell me, how do you react to that kind of problem?
Well, I'm going to say that just to clarify, I was joking, say I'm a recovering actress and comedian. I'm not currently in front of the camera on doing stand-up. I'm so busy directing now and making content and films. But what I can say is this, to speak to kind of what Robert was saying, is that with Paul Whitehead, with my subject of my documentary, is he also, or they, excuse me, were very comfortable being on camera and being, private and public. And that has, having been an actor, that's what actors strive for, is to be very private and public. When you saw Phil Hoffman work, it's about being so comfortable in your own skin that you can really let yourself, let the moments unfold and not try to fabricate in your mind how you're going to respond to a question. And so I felt like, just like you were talking about Spencer, Paul and Tricia were very comfortable with kind of talking about some very intimate and vulnerable things. So, you know, I think this just when you practice, but just being comfortable in your body to be comfortable in who you are. Yeah.
I want to just in for just 1 second, Robert, I just want to make it clear that Fia is talking about her film, which is at the Ojai Film Festival, which is Paul and Tricia, The Art of Fluidity. And, you know, I have to say, I am a fan of Paul Whitehead. I've really been quite impressed with him, with them, I should say. The Art of Fluidity dives into the colorful life of the well-known 77-year-old gender-fluid British artist Paul Whitehead and his alter ego Trish Van Cleef, as they navigate their gender and artistic fluidity as two artists in one body. And this is a real interesting topic, and we'll talk about that in the second half of our show today. But I wanted to get Fia's input on this idea of public versus private persona and how a filmmaker gets to the heart of that. And she referenced Paul and the fluidity that she had to have as a filmmaker. Back to Robert. Robert, you were about to say something when I interrupted. Please go ahead.
Oh, no. No, I was actually going to ask Fia, like, wow, how did you pull that off? I mean, talk about an intimate topic. I'm intrigued. That must have been, what was that like?
Well, we will definitely share. We'll see each other's films. Absolutely. I've known, Paul Whitehead is my partner's, who's also the executive producer of the documentary, his best friend. Their best friend. And so I have that frame of reference through Adam. And I became good friends with Paul and Tricia. But from a filmmaker's perspective, and I really had to step back and allow them, you know, I would, you know, ask questions and we'd delve and we go down the rabbit hole. And then I just kind of felt like it was challenging at times, but then it was also like, they're very much of an open book because they've been such a public persona for so long. Paul Whitehead is a very well-known artist in the UK.
Yeah.
If you Wikipedia him, he's very well-known and famous. And so all of the things that, you know, is very, very well-versed in kind of how he's going to respond and how they're going to respond. But I think I think we had some wonderful surprises, some vulnerable moments talking about, you know, the shift and perception and acceptance and things around their fluidity and all those things. So it was a beautiful process, and it was very much, well, the last thing I would say about this is that I there was a part of me, I had to step back from editorializing and just allow the subject to be who they are. And I think that's challenging as a filmmaker, because we want to fix, we want to get the drama in there. We're thinking about how we're going to build the narrative. And right. If you just let it unfold, then you'll be surprised by all these gems, and then you can build an even richer tapestry of narrative.
Did you ever have to hold back on asking too personal of a stuff, or maybe edit out something that you...
Yes, there was a lot of stuff I wanted to... I was very intrigued because Paul and Tricia are obviously gender fluid, but also bisexual and also like bigender. So there are two beautiful personas in there, two people in there, and they have different, you know, proclivities and attractions. And that's, you know, so I was very interested from the male perspective and the female perspective and how that was, you know, with different, you know, sexually and all those things. So that to me, but I had to, that was not, did not make it in the cut, because I wanted to stay with the fluidity of their artwork and their art, you know, artistic and spirituality and all this other stuff that just, that to me was going down another, that could be an episode, but yes, it was challenging because you think, wow, this is really enticing for people. This is what film festivals want, right?
And I just
had to go, you know what, this is not the story that I need to tell right now.
You know, what's really interesting about both of what Fia is saying to Robert is that there's a subtext here, which you know, I have known of Paul Whitehead's work as an artist for years. And then Spencer, I mean, for however long I've been here, there's been a Spencer. And the backdrop is aging, right? So it's the idea of the artist as the artist ages. And, you know, that was what intrigued me about the idea of both of your films. I can't wait to see them. But there is this idea of the aging artist, and an aging artist in a culture that looks at artists. Thank God for people like Paul McCartney, who's still touring at 80 something plus. And this is a culture that doesn't really respect an aging artist, and so that's an important thing. I think Richard's giving us that quick little sign. We got to go to quick break. I love to hear your reaction about this ageism issue in the cultural artistic community as well. When we get back from the break, let's go to quick break. Richard, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Elizabeth.
Okay, let's go to quick break. We get back. We're speaking today with three wonderful filmmakers from the Ojai Film Festival, and it opening night was last night, and this is November 2nd. Then now the festival goes on till the 6th, and there is way many beautiful films to see. Go to the website there, and you'll see some incredible. OhaiFilmFestival.com is your website. You're going to see what's up, and can't miss some of these. We are speaking today with Fia Pereira, Robert Redfield, and Christopher Hills Eaton. Christopher Hills Eaton is the Bill Paxton Award winner, the first time an animated film is an award winner at the Ojai Film Festival. Don't turn that down. Back in a sec. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm celebrating today the Ojai Film Festival. It opened on November 2nd. It'll be going on till November the 6th. Take a look at some of the films, OhaiFilmFestival.com. And I'm speaking with three filmmakers, really impressive films, all three of them. Robert Redfield, our unofficial mayor, Spencer Barnett, a.k.a. Spencer the Gardener. Well-known, I mean, famous in town. And he made a film called More Than Just a Party Band. And it's, we're talking a little bit between the three of them. It's so interesting because during the break, when all great things are said, the three of them were really talking with each other about how you get to the real person in a documentary. Fia Pereira was opining on this quite eloquently because of her film, Paul and Tricia, The Art of Fluidity, where she covers gender fluid British artist Paul Whitehead and his alter ego, Tricia Van Cleef, a very famous artist. I mean, I've known of him for years. And then we have Christopher Hills Eaton, who also was talking about a documentary film he made. Now, he's the Bill Paxton Award winner for Driftwood this year. A documentary that he made about circus school. How interesting is that? I want to switch quickly back to Robert. And Robert, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of aging. Spencer is not a spring chicken anymore. He started off in an industry where he was sort of the kind of a Beach Boy vibe with the group. He had the tan. Can you tell us a little bit about how did you negotiate that the aging question?
Although not covered explicitly, aging is definitely a part of it because Spencer has gone through three physical emergencies throughout his adult life, and so the comebacks from them were an important part of the backbone of the story, and then. I won't give away the ending, but I wanted to make sure that this movie was not all retrospect looking backwards because the guy's still thriving. And so in the ending, even though it's physically obvious, it's visibly obvious that he's not a spring chicken, the way he deals with it is a, well, it's a typical Spencer thing. So yeah, aging, yep, we're all dealing with it.
How did, and I know he was at the opening night and he played for the opening night. What was his, now I bet you everybody asked you this, but I have to ask, did he like the film?
Oh yeah, no, I'm glad you asked it. Yeah, that was, well, I credited him as co-writer because, well, for obvious reasons. And so, yes, he did, because we there were times where we edited it together.
How was that working with somebody who's not in your industry?
Yeah, or someone who's not in your head. It's it's a challenge if you're even working with an editor or your producer, or yeah, it's I don't know, there must be an elegant word for the pain and pleasure, but it's a combination of it all. But he's a great guy to work with. That one thing about his outward persona that matches the reality of the personal is he's a great guy to work with. He's yeah, he has a big heart. He doesn't hold back on though how he feels is very clear. So all that really made the editing production process.
Now, just I have to ask, you're about to leave us to go to your seminar, and what is your seminar about?
Oh well, I'm just an attendee there, so I'm. But it's Bruce Novotny. He's talking about screenplay and all that. So I'm interested in attending that, but I can be a little late. This is fun.
Okay, all right. We'll enjoy you for a few more minutes. Another question for you. So in regards to the harsh music industry that Spencer had to face, how did you personify the industry as a protagonist, antagonist? What was the antagonist angle to that? The harsh music industry. What was the reaction? What was the reaction that Spencer had?
Yeah, that's a good question. Without giving away specific lines in the film, they were young. They were for a while managed by Spencer's mom's friend. So, you know, it was a local thing. They were young, it was local. They didn't have anybody looking out for them. And yeah, I mean, I don't want to give away too much stuff, but maybe that's enough said right there. You know, you can imagine, EMI was a major label at the time and they got signed very easily. They thought, well, yeah, this is the way it is. We're really good. Major bands, major labels going to sign us up. We're going to be famous. We'll be done by 23. And I think now, you know, we all know that things are more complicated than that, and that's what they learned.
You know, I have to mention to you that my partner is a professional photographer, and he's been shooting Hal Milgram's presentations at the Libero for years now, where Hal was the former president of Columbia Records. And Hal had known everybody in the industry starting from the 60s. In fact, he was the discoverer of many people that are, you know, totally famous today. And yes, I kept on thinking as I was watching that trailer of how these artists that have no really background in business and management were faced with this massive machine, you know, and I've become friendly with Hale over the years. And yes, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, how Spencer handled that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a machine. And no, you've explained it really well. there's the artistic side, and then there's the business side, and both can't exist on their own. And unfortunately, the trump card is owned by the business side, right? They're the ones that bring it out into the world, although some of that is changing now with our technology. But, and some people in business have no heart to, or understanding of the heart. At the same time, they have to deal with practicalities. And so, yeah, that, I mean, that is an interesting thread unto its own, right? Outside of all these films. But as filmmakers, we face that. That's it's an acute love-hate reality.
I want to also ask you an interesting part of your bio, and then I was looking online a little bit for some of your work, that you help clients tell their unique stories through portraits, lifestyle images, and inspiring documentaries. So are you... can we assume that if we've got a story to tell that we can get in touch with you? Are you selective with that? Are you, do you work for hire, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So if we've got an interesting topic, for example, or an interesting person, we can get in touch with you and we can actually pay you to make a documentary about this.
Yep. Absolutely. In fact, I'm working on two projects now. One of them came as a result of this film, and it's a documentary. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are so many incredible stories out there, and documentaries, I think, fulfill a very important task in our culture, because as I learned, you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a musician, an artist, anybody by their cover. And when you start digging, you come and you discover all sorts of fantastic things that are interesting both locally but also interesting, you know, outside of the locality, universal themes.
Before we go and say goodbye to Robert, and then we're going to switch back to speaking with Fia and Christopher at the second half of the show, I want to give our listeners Robert's email, if I might, because Robert is, like he said, he's got two projects now that came from people approaching him saying, would you be interested in telling this story? So Robert is at Robert@Redfield, red as in the color, field as in field of a daffodil, for example, Robert@RedfieldPictures.com. And if you've got an idea, if you've got an approach, if you've got an interesting thought person, he is local. He is a Santa Barbara guy. And I was even thinking when I was looking around at your work, wow, I love for you to do my mom. You know, things like this, you know. But anyway, Robert, have a great seminar with Mr. Novotny, and we will meet you on the other side in Ojai. Thank you for being with us today. Richard, let's go to quick break. We get back from the break. I want to talk about, I want to talk a little with Christopher Hills-Eaton about driftwood. And I also want to work Fia into the question of this idea that we just heard from Robert. Very interesting in so far as the artist versus the machinery of business. And that is a super great topic for her to speak about, having been so close with Paul Whitehead, who had his, I happen to have a little bit knowledge on this subject because, I mean, I've been an appraiser of fine art for 30 years. He actually was quite adept at working both sides throughout his career, and quite notorious for working both sides in his career. So I'd love to hear about that. We get back, we're going to talk about Paul and Tricia, The Art of Fluidity, and the Bill Paxton award-winning film, which is an animated film, Driftwood. Don't turn that down. Back in a sec.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Sturt celebrating the Ojai Film Festival. I just always love the films. I always love the filmmakers. Unique Ojai is just the most unique place because it's so creative, small town, but so many creatives. Richard once said you can swing a dead cat and Ojai, you're going to knock out artists left, right, and center. It's just an amazing little community with massive amounts of talent. And we're proving it today. We're talking with two filmmakers. I want to delve into Christopher Hills Eaton's film, Driftwood. And it really resonated with me, and I'll tell you why. It has this, well, just to back up a little bit. So my scholarship, Chris, is in the field of material culture, which is it's a type of study that does not actually use books as first source material, but uses things as first source material. So the idea that Driftwood has to do with the inanimate objects that help mark and define and actually symbolize parts of our lives, that to me was just wow. Finally, a film that actually does that and says that. And then I find out that your mom, Marilee Eaton, was a local mosaic artist in Ojai, and that she worked with objects and stuff. And by the way, one of the core studies of people that look at material culture the way I do is we study ancient mosaic art, because it's a combination of so many, so much material. You've got architecture, you've got either the glass or the stones or whatever. It's a combination of talents and a combination of material. And so it's a way of expressing that materials can work together to make one solid statement. So when I found this out about your film, I thought, wow, how interesting to me. Tell me a little bit about how you came up with the idea.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me chat about Driftwood. I will go back to my mother was a mosaic artist. She particularly enjoyed Picassiette, which is broken things, right? And it's taking broken items and putting them together into a new shape, into a new form. And I think that the idea that even if something is broken, it doesn't lose its value. I always thought that was a very helpful and a beautiful, beautiful way to look at life. She also told me very much that, you know, life is hard enough. So the point of life is to make art that makes it easier for somebody else to be a human being. And so I do think that predominantly that comes about in the form of art and tangible items and the experiences that we impart and impose on the items around us. So I'm a filmmaker. I've been writing and directing films and making bigger and bigger pieces. And I have a very supportive community and team around me to help me bring my ideas to life. And when the pandemic happened a couple of years ago, I was in Ojai taking care of my parents, making sure that they were staying out of harm's way. And my team said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, I will go ahead and look through my ideas and see if we have something that we could explore in the animation space. And so this idea about driftwood as an item, as this thing that kind of floats aimlessly about in the waters, can all of a sudden be the source of someone's life. They can save their life. And then what happens if they took them with them instead of leaving it out in the water to potentially do the same till the end of time? What if someone gave it the gift of life in exchange? And so this idea was kind of born of a sailor gets thrown overboard during the attack on Pearl Harbor and survives by holding on to a piece of driftwood. And then when he's rescued, he refuses to let go and ends up taking it with him. And they have a relationship over the course of the rest of his life that continues to remind him, as well as those around him, of the value that we can give to things and the value that inanimate objects bring to our lives. And it manifests itself in so many ways. We like to think a bit of the film as the Giving Tree meets the first 48 seconds of Up. Just a beautiful dialogue-less adventure into a relationship.
And it's so interesting because this is exactly what I love about, you know, the material world, is that there is a relationship, and people tend to degrade the relationship and say, well, that's, you know, that's materialism. But the interesting thing is that for this interview, I was casting about thinking about what an inanimate object that's a work of art, for example, that isn't even a work of art when you find it, like your mom's, this technique of using broken things to make art. I am I guess I have a problem, a mental problem, according to my family. I go into all kinds of estate sales and thrift stores, et cetera, and I find orphans. And my orphans are usually two-dimensional works of art that are unsigned, paintings and drawings, et cetera, that are unsigned, that I see something in, and then I work on them and fix them and make them speak again. And I have now two storage lockers full of my orphans. And I, of course, pay $300 each storage locker. So, and then I just want to mention the excerpt from Delphi Works of Vasily Kandinsky, who said, "Whither is this lifetime tending? What is the message of the artist? Well, the message is to send light into the darkness, such as the duty. An artist is a man who can draw and paint anything, everything." And I thought, oh, I'm just going to shoot that past Christopher.
Yeah, thank you for that.
What he thinks of Kandinsky.
No, I that's a beautiful quote. I would say I do have I grew up in an artistic household, and I do have a degree in fine arts. I did a lot of studio drawing, but I do believe that the first job of a director is to hire people that are better than you at whatever it is you're seeking to do. And I did provide 76 pages of storyboards for our animated short. But ultimately, we made the choice to have somebody else animate it, Aaron Brown, and he did a beautiful job. He actually ended up doing most, if not all of it himself, the backgrounds, the characters, the settings, all of it. And it did take us 3 years to get there because life finds a way, life gets in the way. And above all else, we are humans trying to do our best with what we can. But in the end, yeah, he put a great piece together for us. And yeah, we're very proud of the Driftwood story we've got.
Well, thank you very much for that, Kristen. And if you'd stick with us, I want your help. I want to talk a little bit with Fia Pereira, Paul and Tricia, The Art of Fluidity, a subject that I've been following for a long time in my career, and that's British artist Paul Whitehead and his alter ego, Tricia Van Cleef. I just marvel that no one's actually done this before. No one's made this film. And it was, I mean, this is, I was so happy to read about this. Finally, someone's made this film. It's been calling out to be made for a long time. Let's go to a quick break. We get back. I want to know what got Fia to finally do this film that the world needed to have happen for a while. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart speaking with two filmmakers that are represented in the Ojai Film Festival going on now till November the 6th. Do take a look. OjaiFilmFestival.com. It'll blow your mind. The kind of talent that comes together in Ojai is phenomenal. And I'm speaking specifically with Fia Pereira and Christopher Hills Eaton. And I want to get back to Fia here because she did a film called Paul and Tricia, The Art of Fluidity. And it's about the 77-year-old gender fluid British artist Paul Whitehead and his alter ego, Tricia Van Cleef. Absolutely famous in the world, in my world anyway, as an art historian. Tell me, Fia, how did you, what pushed you to finally give the world this film?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been so busy working on this other piece called Mermaid about this a trans little 10-year-old boy, Cassie, and their relationship with this black drag queen and all this stuff. And I've been so busy on that impact film. And then I just had this opportunity during the pandemic. I know Chris was talking about, like, sometimes these beautiful things, you know, tend to grow in you know, when you look at that, the idea of, like, the world just stopped and I feel like creativity just exploded and it was a fertile ground. So Adam had these, I was mentioning this in the break, had commissioned his son and his son's best friend, Ben Fisk is his son, and best friend, Jordan McLaughlin, really talented filmmaker, to do these three animated pieces about Paul and Trish, about based on little sections of their lives. And that was supposed to be part of a pop-up show that they were gonna travel and then through Europe. And that would be playing in galleries. And unfortunately, coronavirus, you know, COVID came and that shut everything down. So he had those three pieces. And Adam said, you know, why don't you, Fia, would you like to, I know you're working on all the mermaid stuff and some other things. Would you like to put this together as part of a short film? And I looked at him, the three animated pieces, and I started thinking, you know, because I know Paul, and then I started really getting to know Tricia, and I love Tricia. I mean, Tricia, they're both amazing people, but, you know, Tricia, she's a star. She walks and people are like, oh my God, it's Betty Davis. Like, Tricia has that larger than life, and she's just very nuanced, and just, I think she's beautiful. And so, you know, I realized when I delved into it, this is a bigger story, and I was so interested thematically as, you know, I am in the LGBTQ plus space for now. I mean, I'm working on a big action, you know, big thriller pilot, you know, that's going to be really fun. I'm shooting that next week. But in these particular feature, that space right now, it happens to be the LGBTQ plus themes, because I really want to help elevate those voices. So I was very interested in the duality, the beautiful duality of both Paul and Tricia, and the acceptance of who they are, and at 77. And what Tricia said to me, what they said to me, which was so moving, you know, you feel invisible when you get older sometimes. And so I knew that for me, I wanted to, and Adam also wanted, we wanted to celebrate them, to celebrate their, this incredible history, their artwork, who they are, who, what they've done in their lives, you know, the billboard art shows, working with Peter Gabriel, all these iconic things, but also the courage to say, you know what, on one of the, you know, I'm not going to give away the last line, but it's really about, don't put yourself in a box. I wanted to create a documentary that inspires people. It says, whether you're an artist, whether you're grappling with coming out to your family, the community, whether it's gender, where it's identity, whatever you want to do, is don't worry about making other people feel comfortable. Make yourself feel comfortable. And it's about, I wanted to create a safe space for that, for them and for other people to identify. And it's fun. There's a lot of really cool, we have over 250 pieces of their artwork. And you're talking about all the artwork you have. I mean, they have storage spaces too. So I think we need to go over there and see all their artwork. So yeah, I mean, that was really inspiring for me to jump off that beautiful, you know, jump into that kind of that story. And then it just, like, they just kept giving me more beautiful stuff. And I was like, I always joke, I said, you know, this is going to get longer and longer, you know, the more, you know, just the threads. So it was really a wonderful experience. And we had one of their best friends, Spencer and Tracy, who are also gender fluid and lovely, be part of it as well. So, you know, it was a real gift. I'm so grateful. I never set out to to make a documentary. I have to say there is another documentary that will be coming out. Oh.
Well, and what will the, what is that documentary coming?
Sorry, I saw the finger, so I was like, uh-oh. That the other documentary, I can't say anything too much about it, but there's another filmmaker who's been working on a documentary about Paul Whitehead for 7 years. And my piece is very different, so.
Well, thank you both. I appreciate so much you coming on, telling us about Paul and Trisha, The Art of Fluidity, Fia Pereira's film, and of course, Christopher Hill's Eaton, the Bill Paxton Award winner of this film festival, for his animated film, Driftwood. Thank you both. And do everybody go to filmfestival.com. Just blown away by the quality of these films. Thank you guys.